Okay, welcome back to lesson number two, what makes a happy family. Now, in lesson one, if you already listened to that, and if you haven't, I would strongly suggest that you actually go back and you do listen to it. But in lesson one, we looked at how to start building a strong family by choosing to put them first as your number one priority, as one of your highest values, so to speak. So the first thing that I was encouraging you to do in that lesson is that the first step we have to take in order to build a strong family is to actually make the decision to put them first and make them a number one priority. But in this lesson, we are asking the question, what makes a happy family? Now, the question is, why is that an important question to ask? Well, it's important because almost all research I have read on happiness indicates that it influences all other parts of life. When somebody is happy in their marriage, as an example, they tend to perform better at work. When somebody is happy at work, they tend to have higher levels of productivity at work. When someone is happy, they tend to attract and surround themselves with even more other happy people and thereby create even more happiness. Happiness is, you know, almost seems to be sort of this contagious thing. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but it's difficult being around a genuinely happy person for any extended period of time without actually having your own mood lifted or influenced by it in the process. It is very tough staying sad or feeling down when you're around somebody that's genuinely and truly happy without that actually rubbing off on you and you actually starting to feel better also. So when we aim to create a happy family, not just a strong family, but a happy family, and actually succeed in creating a general state of happiness in our home, doing that actually has huge implications for us as a family moving forward. Because a happy family functions better together than an unhealthy or an unhappy family. When family members are unhappy, all sorts of behavioral and mental challenges seem to become part and parcel of that situation, and it's very difficult to create a strong family as a result. So aiming to create a happy family and putting in the hard work to do so is an incredibly important strategy for creating a strong and resilient family at the end of the day. And I know that happiness sounds like one of those soft topics, you know, it's almost like it's woo-woo. But again, everything I've read about happiness tells me that it has far-reaching and a positive impact on everything that it comes into contact with. That includes our families. You will not be wasting your time when aiming to create happiness in your family becomes a priority. Almost like the first one we talked about, you know, putting your family first. It's not a waste of time making that decision. The same goes with happiness. If you make it your aim, you won't be wasting your time in the long run. It will only serve you in the long run. But it's very important to realize that creating a happy environment for your family is not just one person's responsibility. It can't just be left to mum or to dad or to the kids to create this happy environment, because creating a happy environment for your family requires time and effort from each and every family member every single day. Obviously, and according to how much they can contribute. I mean, there's only so much we can expect from a tiny baby to contribute to our happiness. So during that time, or during the time that they're growing up, mum and dad probably have to pick up the slack for that. But at some point, they can start contributing towards this. At the end of the day, every person can and needs to play their part insofar they obviously can and they're able to do so. Now, each person has to choose to be part of the family. Kind of goes back to that, what we talked about in the first lesson, to make it a decision, or to for everyone to make the decision to put family first. So every person has to choose to be part of this family and then demonstrate that by their actions, not just empty words or talk. Now, I personally constantly say to our kids that they are part of this family. Just because they're younger than mum and dad doesn't mean they're not part of the family. They are part of this family, which means they also have a role to play in making our family work the best that it can. It's not just up to mum and dad. It's not just mum and dad's responsibility. Yes, we lead and in a sense we carry the bulk of responsibilities of our family, but each member can and should play their part. That's just my personal opinion on this. We all have a responsibility to make it easier on each other to enjoy being part of this family. So we can all help to make someone else's day slightly better, especially if we see that they're struggling. That goes for the kids too. If they see mom and dad struggling and they have the awareness, or they've been taught the awareness, they can make mom and dad's day slightly better. It is just fascinating how quickly our daughter, who's 6 years old, how quickly she's picked up on this. And whenever she sees mom or dad having a bad day, she will draw us a picture or make us a card. And even our son, who's 10 years old, you know, he'll just increase the amount of hugs he will come and give us, just, you know, quite unexpectedly, or, you know, out of the blue, he'll just come and give us a hug. It's almost like they know exactly what we need, and they've learned what works to pick us up a little bit more when we're having a tough day. So kids totally have the ability to do this if they've been taught how to do this. Now, while a family might start out with a marriage, or at least two people coming together into a relationship, it requires additional building blocks to turn that marriage or addition or initial relationship into a happy family. Creating a happy family doesn't necessarily just happen by default. Kids won't necessarily just pick up on how to contribute to the family's happiness, you know, because they've read a book or they've watched a YouTube clip. They actually need to be taught by their parents or their caregivers how to do this. Now, of course, I'm a big proponent of the idea that in order to have a healthy relationship and a healthy family, you need healthy individuals. I would argue the same would go for creating a happy relationship. When two happy people enter a relationship, chances are they will manage to create a happy relationship a lot easier than two people that are unhappy, you know, by default, in a sense. Now, one main and major ingredient of creating a happy family is the ingredient of love. Now, why is that important? Because love creates a family bond that will usually last a lifetime. And the love I'm talking about here is the kind that goes beyond feelings or words. We all have our, you know, our off days. We all have days when we don't feel like showing love. We don't feel like being patient. We don't feel like listening to our kids or to our parents, whatever the case is. But the love I'm talking about here is more to do with decision and very little to do with feelings and words. I love what the ancient scriptures say about love when it says that it's impossible to say that you love the Creator who is unseen while you hate a person you can actually see, because doing that actually puts a huge question mark on your love as a whole. Now, I don't care about your religious background or your spiritual standing, but there is a huge lesson to be learned in the ancient scriptures. The point they're making is that it's very important to look at the type of love that you're actually saying that you have or profess to have, because you can't say that you love something that you can't see, but you hate something that you actually have an opportunity to love because you can see it, and then say you're filled with love. That is actually a lie. You're lying to yourself. Love can only grow within us, it says in that same ancient scripture. Love can only grow in us, you know, become fulfilled and reach its full potential when it's actually exercised and expressed to those we can see around us. In other words, by showing it, love actually grows in its essence. It becomes fulfilled. Now, as a parent, you teach your children how to love by demonstrating affection with your spouse, with your wife, with your husband, with your lover. If you have a son, chances are that he will model what you do as the same-sex parent. Our research has pointed this out to us. He will pay attention to how you treat his mother, and he will emulate that in his own relationships. He will even model that in the way he treats his mum and how he treats his sister, as an example. The same goes for a little girl who observes how her mum behaves and speaks. If you're a mum that constantly belittles or degrades or questions or criticizes your husband, your spouse, she will pick up on that, and she will most likely model that in her relationships moving forward. So showing love is a powerful way to create happiness in a family. It creates, again, that sense of stability and certainty and security. But we need to teach our children how to love love by actually demonstrating it ourselves. We can't tell them about love. We can't just talk about it. That has very little to no value. So the question becomes, how can you demonstrate love as a powerful example of how it could be done? In fact, how it should be done in your family. Now, that can, of course, mean all sorts of things, from having a cuddle on the couch in front of the kids, looking after your partner when they're sick or hurt, when the kids see that, or just being there for each other when you need each other. Now, of course, there will be many times when family members disagree. That happens. That's part of being a family. But that is all part of having a healthy relationship. I know there's a lot of people think that because there's conflict in a marriage or conflict in a family, that means that you're not a healthy or not a happy family. But nothing could be further from the truth. The fact that we're so diverse will create conflict. It'll create disagreements. It's all part of being, you know, part of being and having a healthy relationship. But it all comes down to how you deal with the differences, how you deal with conflict, not the fact that you do have them. Being part of a happy family means that the family can get through these more challenging times and come out smiling and stronger as a family unit as a result of that. In fact, I would argue that children actually need to see how mom and dad deal with challenging times effectively and, more importantly, lovingly towards each other. That is a great lesson to learn, not to kind of hide the fact that you have conflict or that, you know, hide the fact that there are challenging times. They can be part and parcel of that. Now, they shouldn't be made to carry the responsibility and burden of those challenges, but they can see and they can learn how mom and dad or how their caregivers actually deal with those things effectively and lovingly. And those are important lessons they will carry into their own relationships and families moving forward. So challenging times and difficulties don't give us an excuse to throw our love for each other out the window and become toxic in how we treat each other. There's no excuse for that. When things go wrong, a happy and strong family will know when to leave the person alone for a while. They know how to treat each other. They will understand that when shouts of frustration happen, they are not directed at them personally, but best of all, they will be there to pick this person up when the time is right. They are also not scared of admitting when they have overreacted, or that they could have handled the situation better. And they're not scared of apologizing quickly and first. They don't wait for the other person to come say sorry. They do it first. Strong families, at the end of the day, teach each other that it's okay to make a mistake. It is okay to sometimes fall apart because we are there for each other. And it's also okay to swallow your pride from time to time and admit when you were wrong and then just apologize to each other. These are powerful and important lessons that we need to learn and also model and teach our kids in order to create a strong and resilient family. Creating happiness and thereby, by extension, create a strong family also challenges us to start paying attention to what we do and how we speak throughout the day, especially when we are together. During our daily routines, you need to become aware of your choice of words, because words or the wrong words can easily disrupt any family. So you've got to become aware and become very careful in how quickly you judge or how you put people down with uncaring words. And apart from displaying love, communication is the other very important key to a happy family. So don't let badly worded conversations destroy this, especially not in front of those that you're trying to influence positively. Because even when you think the kids are not listening, they are very much listening. Members of a happy family also know that telling the truth is important. It is okay to be open and honest about what you're feeling, what you're going through, what you dislike, and what you need from the rest of the family whenever you need it. You know, it doesn't always make it easy to hear when people in your family members tell you things that they need from you that you haven't been giving, but it's very much necessary. If one cannot be open and honest and truthful in a family, well, where can you be? So this might mean that telling your daughter that she really doesn't look great in that outfit, you know, might sometimes be applicable. Or it might entail telling your spouse that you need some quiet time alone for a change, that you kind of need to be alone a little bit. Telling the truth does not necessarily hurt a person. It is the lies and playing with a person's emotions and, you know, deceit and hiding things for too long. Those are the things that end up hurting each other. But there's obviously a caveat to this, and to terms of telling the truth. Don't expect your family members to be open to these honest conversations, you know, that I'm talking about, when you haven't laid a foundation in your family for that to happen. If you've been absent mentally, emotionally, or physically for an extended period of time, and suddenly you want to tell your teenage son how things should work, don't be surprised if that actually blows up in your face. Any relationship is truly like taking care of a plant. I know this is a real cliche, but it's truly like taking care of a plant. It needs attention and nurturing and feeding in small amounts over a long period of time. The key here is consistency. Remember what we said in our last previous session? It is the small things that lead to big things over time. It is the small things we do consistently over time that compounds into bigger results. The same goes for creating a happy family. You lay the foundation early on, and you keep building on it over time, not through future expectations, but through small actions and demonstrations of love and affection and honesty, acceptance, transparency, and forgiveness in the now, in the present. When you do that, when you lay down the foundation, there are no surprises down further down the line. A happy family knows what's expected from them. They know that they're expected to show up at family events and are happy to do so. They also understand the importance of spending time with each other because they've done it from the start. They understand that having quality time together helps to strengthen the family bonds and reinforces the message that they're not alone. It creates that sense of certainty and security we talked about in the previous lesson. So at the end of this lesson today, I know I've covered a lot and I went through this really, really quickly, but at the end of this lesson, if you feel that your family is not as happy as they should be, maybe take some time today, right now, to figure out why things aren't the way they are, and also or the way they should be, and where things can be improved. Now, this is obviously not about feeling guilty or blaming anyone. That never works, and it's never helpful. But it's about drawing a line in the sand, like we said in our previous lesson, and deciding, choosing that you want your family to be happier for a start, and thereby also stronger. Now, depending on how far things have gone, this might actually be quite challenging for you, but what is the alternative? The longer you wait, the harder it will most likely become. I think, the Chinese proverb, is very, very, the one Chinese proverb is very applicable in this instance, that says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. So use some of the ideas in this lesson and figure out some ways to start showing your family that you truly care about them and that you're truly serious about creating a more happy environment. They won't know unless you actually show them and you lead by example. Don't talk about it. Demonstrate it. And I'll see you in the next lesson where we will talk about how to raise a happy family. See you soon, guys.